25 before the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. This is Monday, April 9th, 2018. As we go on the air this morning, the Pope's apostolic exhortation, Rejoice and Be Glad, the call to holiness in today's world, has just been released. Let's take you inside this very common sense document. There's a lot of common sense stuff that you and I can put into effect today, and maybe have already. We're already on that path to holiness, and we may not even realize it. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, senior contributor for EWTN, is joining us to take us inside of Rejoice and Be Glad. And, of course, in Matthew 5:12, when Jesus says, Rejoice and be glad to those who are persecuted or humiliated for his sake, thus the title of this apostolic exhortation. Good morning, Dr. Bunsen.
Good morning. Very good to be with you.
Like a parish priest today. It's like sitting down with the Holy Father and just getting some great advice one-on-one, isn't it?
Yeah, well, first, I think everyone was somewhat relieved to know that this is a significantly shorter apostolic exhortation than Amoris Laetitia. I think
right.
It's about 44 pages. And I'm already referring to it as, in no way disparagingly, sort of Pope Francis' greatest hits. What we're seeing here is sort of the distillation of 5 years of a lot of his spiritual wisdom, which means that it is very practical. It is oriented toward the universal call to holiness that we found in the Second Vatican Council, of course, but that is also grounded very soundly in the history of the Church. But it's also calling for the practical application of the life of the Christian, which is why he focuses so heavily on the Beatitudes in Matthew 25.
And also helping us focus on what holiness is, because very often we can look at it as this fine piece of china that we put up on a pedestal and something not to be touched, or something that, you know, only a few people can achieve. The saints can achieve holiness, but the Holy Father talks about, no, we're not supposed to withdraw from life. We're actually supposed to be in life and have fun living all of the gifts and the talents that God gave us to help somebody else.
Yeah, well, there's a great line that he has, that we are all called to be holy by living our lives with love and by bearing witness in everything we do, wherever we find ourselves. In other words, wherever God has put you, that is where you are called to be holy. And all of us, then, need to be holy, as he puts it, by caring and loving for others. But then he anchors it in the supreme model for how we are to live our lives, and that, of course, is Jesus Christ.
And the Holy Father also goes into a lot of what you and I do on a daily basis, just interacting with people at work, losing our patience with our kids, gossiping on Facebook, and what that means when we're on that path to holiness.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He has this other phrase that I really like. He says, do not be afraid of holiness, that it will take away none of your energy or vitality or your joy. But then he argues that, on the contrary, you will become what the Father had in mind when he created you. And that, I think, a lot of people are terrified of the idea of trying to be holy, that somehow that they're surrendering their lives or that they're going to become less of themselves, when in fact they're becoming the truest part of themselves, the truest self. And I think that's why he uses the Beatitudes, he uses Matthew's Gospel, in particular, of course, the 25th chapter, all of the things that help us to understand the powerful witness of the saints revealed in their lives, and, of course, everything, again, oriented toward Christ. This is a very, very well-crafted exhortation from the standpoint of helping us to see how to live a Christ-like life.
Dr. Bunsen, he doesn't seem to put holiness out of reach, kind of along the lines of the advice to do small things with great love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he uses a lot of examples of the saints throughout. He quotes, for example, St. John of the Cross. He mentions Therese of Lisieux, to your point. He mentions Teresa of Avila. He goes through sort of the history of the Church, including Bonaventure and Thomas Aquinas, to show us that, yes, you have these magnificent saints, these profound saints such as Bonaventure and Aquinas, but even they understood that the fundamental orientation has to be toward Christ, but it means living your holiness, that you don't shut it away from the world, much as there might be a temptation to.
And Dr. Bunsen, as we look at the Pope's latest apostolic exhortation just out, Rejoice and Be Glad, he also talks about, and I love this line, Glenn and I were talking about it before you and I went on the air, quote, Christian joy is usually accompanied by a sense of humor.
Yeah, and that's what I meant earlier by things that Francis has said over the last 5 years. You can find in this document in the sense of the importance of joy. He devoted an entire exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, to the very idea of joy. But it's as you say, a joy-filled Christian is somebody who can really present to the world the beauty of the faith and be heard and be received. He has this line right at the very beginning where he says that holiness is the most attractive face of the church, and that attractiveness is made all the more attractive by our joy, by our sense of humor. And when you go through the history of the church, certainly there is a joy that we find with the saints, with those who truly love God. Because how could you not be filled with joy, happiness, and a sense of humor, knowing that God loves you?
Dr. Matthew Bunsen, senior contributor for EWTN, is joining us this morning on Morning Air, looking at Rejoice and Be Glad, the apostolic exhortation, the call to holiness in our words. Don't mean to read too much into this, although I'm sure this will happen as we get further into Rejoice and Be Glad, but is the Holy Father sending a shot over the bow of a lot of politicians all around the world when he talks about our defense of the innocent unborn, for example, needs to be clear, firm, and passionate, for at the stake is the dignity of human life, which is always sacred, that we get. Here it comes. But he also talks about those who are already born, the destitute, those who are in need, the underprivileged, the abandoned, the vulnerable in our society, that the call to holiness is to take care of them if you're truly going to be pro-life.
Yeah, the Holy Father, as he has done in the past, is calling for that balance in how we live our holiness. He gives a very strong statement regarding the defense of the unborn, and he gives a very strong statement in defense and in the need to care for those who are suffering in the world. This is all nothing new in terms of Pope Francis, so I wouldn't read too much into it, and we're already seeing those who are arguing that he's taking a particular position here. What is very clear for Francis is that recognition of living that holiness in every possible sense of the word. And Francis has talked about this in the past, and he is going to continue to talk about the suffering of the poor, that our care for them must be grounded in love and it must be grounded in mercy. The care of the 60 million or so refugees who are being forced from their homes, even as we speak right now, that too is part of our obligation. And we find it anchored again in the Beatitudes. We find it anchored in Matthew 25. That is why he keeps going back to that in this exhortation.
Coming back to joy just a little bit too, Dr. Bunsen, joy is attractive, and it doesn't mean we're happy and in a party mood all the time, but have that joyful peace as we go about, you know, helping to ease suffering. But I wonder sometimes we get some hardcore folks that almost want to advertise suffering as, you know, the primary thing we ought to look for. I mean, it's part of the Christian life, and I've heard a couple messages both today and yesterday at length on Relevant Radio about suffering, and, you know, this is going to be tough, but you're going to like it because it's good for you. And there's, you know, elements of truth in that. But if we're trying to evangelize, maybe joy is a little more better way to go.
And to go through suffering with joy, you can do that. Those are not mutually exclusive, Dr. Bunsen.
No, they're not. And he's well, you make a really good point regarding there is most certainly the redemptive power of suffering. And Pope Francis talks about that. He talks about the fact that hard times may come when the cross casts its shadow, yet nothing can destroy the supernatural joy, he writes, and he's quoting, that adapts and changes but always endures, even as a flicker of light born of our personal certainty that when everything is said and done, we are infinitely loved. That joy brings deep security, serene hope, and a spiritual fulfillment that the world cannot understand or appreciate. And yet, isn't it interesting that the world wants that joy? It wants that happiness. And as the phrase goes, it wants happiness, but is looking in all the wrong places.
And for those of us who stand in confession lines and very often forget the Eighth Commandment, the Holy Father is reminding us of the Eighth Commandment in Rejoice and Be Glad, where he says, and we're quoting here Dr. Bunsen, it's striking at times in claiming to uphold the other commandments, they completely ignore the Eighth, which forbids bearing false witness or lying. And the Holy Father going on to say in this apostolic exhortation is, don't waste energy complaining about somebody else. Just focus on yourself. Again, look for the gifts that God has given you for the common good.
That's right. And we had, of course, this kerfuffle, this controversy of what Francis may or may not have said in that interview with a 93-year-old atheist editor, Eugenio Scalfari. Well, if you're looking for a very clear, forthright, blunt statement from Francis regarding the reality of the devil, I would encourage you to read Chapter 5 in this exhortation. The title is Spiritual Combat, Vigilance, and Discernment, because he gives a very clear discussion of the actions of the devil. And I think it makes for very interesting reading, especially because he proposes the antidotes, of course, of discernment and prayer.
We should not think of the devil as a myth, representation, a symbol, a figure of speech, or an idea. That mistake would lead us down, let our guard down, and to grow careless and to end up more vulnerable to the devil's responses. Right, there is no guesswork there. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, senior contributor to EWTN, looking inside the just released Rejoice and Be Glad, the papal exhortation on the call to holiness in today's world, written in the second person. So again, it's very much like this 44 pages, like a conversation that the Holy Father might have with you and me if we were blessed to sit down with him. Great spiritual direction in this. Dr. Matthew Bunsen, as always, thank you for being here.
Oh, joy to be with you. Looking forward to our next conversation.
Dr. Matthew Bunsen, you can read him in the National Catholic Register and, of course, see him on EWTN and hear him here on Relevant Radio. Coming up in the next hour, we'll go a little more deeply into the papal exhortation with Father Burke Masters, our Monday spiritual director. Also this morning, our Relevant Radio chief religion correspondent, Monsignor Stuart Swetland, takes you inside Rejoice and Be Glad. Time now is 13 before. We've got a fresh Glenn Story Corner coming up and homily highlights for the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, next on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.